I think we're there. Ian.
All right. So I guess we've gone through the actual measures that were recommended for endorsement. Now we have to kind of step back and review the comments that really fall under the general comments or that were comments on measures that were not recommended for endorsement.
Which one do you want to do first?
So I don't know if there's any I think if we can just look over right now measures that were not recommended, and we're bringing that up on your screen right now. So these were measures that the steering committee did not recommend. However, they were commented on via the member and public comment period. And right now we have, this was measure 009. It was a measure that was not recommended. It's from CMS. The first, three or four comments are from CMS on the measure.
So I can, let's see, we're starting with measure 22, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, 22. you know, I mean, I think that these are the same sort of comments that we heard before. My sense is that the thrust of these is these are the comments on the issues that we discussed and ended up voting against. So I'm not sure if a lot of additional discussion is needed. You know, I understand the disappointment with the measure developers. But ultimately, I don't think there's new information here, unless I'm missing something in the comments. I don't think there's any new information in the comments that we didn't already consider.
And just maybe to speed the process along, Sharman, if you're on the line, if there are new comments that were addressed and the steering committee is not seeing at this point, would you like to raise any new comments that were not talked at the time of the in-person meeting?
I think the only issue, and it really is more of how to proceed, the committee suggests, you know, sort of how you would work this measure with cancer detection rates, and I know CMS is very interested in that. But the American College of Radiology had a separate measure about cancer detection rates. And on that measure, at least the information coming from the ACR and one of the, at least the way we read the committee report, was that the data is probably ends up with two small cell sizes that let you use cancer detection at a facility level. And so we're sort of struggling around that issue. I mean, I know CMS would be very interested in looking at how to use cancer detection rates, but at least the evidence coming from ACR indicated that it may not actually be feasible at the facility level and that the purpose of these measures is to be at the facility level. So that's the only thing.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone on the committee feel we need further discussion of this measure? Ian, then could we move on to the next one?
Okay.
I think, Ian, it correct. Our reason to discuss the measures not recommended is to see if, in view of the comments, anyone feels strongly that we should reconsider the measure, correct?
Correct.
So we can be fairly brief unless someone has a strong view that should happen.
Correct.
The next one for us to think about is...
This is Ray. Can I just ask, sort of, maybe this is a stupid question, but my sense of this was that these were, you know, these comments reflected disappointment in the measure developers and in essence, in many cases, people doing their job, which is to say, we wish you would have done this measure. Is that a reasonable summary? That's how I saw it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I didn't see any new points made that hadn't been made previously.
And I think if the steering committee is okay with the proposed response from NQF staff, then for those measures that were not recommended for endorsement, then we can move forward. So not only is this time to allow you to reconsider potential options, but it's also to make sure that you're okay or comfortable with the responses.
Okay.
We didn't recommend
All right. So then what is next? Which one is next, Ian?
Okay. So we have number 12. So on your screen right now, it's comment number 30. And 31, this is also from Susan Arday from CMS.
Yeah. Okay, and this number 12 was simultaneous use of brain and sinus CT. Again, it seems that the comments, to my view, are disappointment and arguing that this is an important area, but not new information.
This is Rich Griffey. I don't know if any of the primary reviewers are on the call for this measure. My recollection of this measure was that it was voted down on importance, and I guess that's at, but apart from that, my recollection is that they thought the measure was good. And so I was not one of the primary reviewers. I don't have a strong position of advocacy here, but I sort of would ask the committee if there is some thought that in light of these comments that were made that this should rise to a level of importance that it might be reconsidered just based upon the fact that the remainder of the measure by the reviewers, if it is the case that they thought it was a good, sound measure.
If I may comment, Jacqueline Bellow, I was not a primary reviewer on this, but my recollection of discussion at the group meeting also centered around the fact that the population in which the overuse is rampant is completely missed by this measure being proposed by CMS, namely the young patients
younger,
and
yeah.
children, where the irradiation of the lens, which is going to be included times two for head and sinus CT, is really a focal point that this obviously, by definition, can't cover.
Yeah, this is Mike Pentecosta. We recognize that, and what we hoped was that by looking at the Medicare population, which we could do very quickly with this measure, we can draw attention to that by other payers to looking at this in younger patients. So I think what you see with this is extreme outlier behavior, which we would shine a light on. And that illumination could be transferable to other populations of patients. Without this, we'll never shine that light. That was our concern. We obviously, it's older patients, and obviously it's less of an issue, but I think when you see the outlier performance, it will be disturbing enough that people will want to look at this practice in different groups of patients.
Let's see. Any other thoughts from the steering committee?
This is Ray Gibbons. The comments here would not change my thought at all about this.
No, this is Eric Peterson as well. I would agree with Ray. I don't think there's anything preventing CMS or others from publishing the results that they have to date. But the degree to which may stimulate the move you exactly want, but the degree to which you'd want to make it a performance measure on a rare end of the spectrum, I think, is probably not ideal.
That's my feeling as well.
I would agree with that.
All right. So no further discussion. We'll move down. Just one second. We're bringing it up on your screen right now. So we have comment number 75 from Andrew Franklin, American College of Emergency Physicians. And this is on measure number 6.
Number 6. Oh, yeah. Boy, my view is we've been through this already twice, right? We already considered this once and then considered it again on appeal.
Correct.
Yes, my thoughts haven't changed on this. Judy.
Nor have mine.
Keep canceling, nor have mine. And mine were positive.
All right. To just summarize, it sounds like, so for all the comments objecting to the potential to reconsider a measure for M2F endorsement, we see no move from the steering committee to do that at this time.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
General comments, is that right?
So we're just going to general comments at this point. So we just finished reviewing those comments for measures that were not recommended. Now we're looking at the general comments to the project. So starting off with comment number 17, the overall theme of this comment was support with modifications.
I think all of the general comments were on that overall theme, were they not?
Yes, they were overall pretty much along that theme. I mean, there were some that deviated.
There's comment
47 was
correct. 47, which we were actually hoping to highlight for your discussion, was a comment on the level of analysis that measure developers can check in the NQF submission form for the measure. And the comment was asking not only NQF to take action, but also the steering committee to review to see if the level of analysis as indicated by the measure developer on the submission form was actually appropriate for the measure. And we have the measure specs table for the steering committee to review at this time. I don't know if you want to just jump to 47 right now because we're already discussing it. We can bring up the measure spec table, and really what we're hoping to have the steering committee is just look over to make sure that the level of analysis is appropriate for that measure. And if not, we'll have to either have a discussion with the developer at this time or loop back in with them at a later date. So if we right now are going to bring up the specs table, and if you're on the webinar, if you look over on the far right-hand side of your screen, we have level of analysis, and then that's for that indicated measure. The comment number 47 was specifically interested in the box that indicated other. However, just because we are taking this time, if we could look over the level of analysis for each measure and what they indicated to see if that is appropriate.
This is Sally. I'm sorry to interrupt, and this is a proposition to the chairs. My assumption is that when you reviewed the measures that you were taking into account the level of analysis.
That's correct.
Okay. So I think we just wanted to make sure, and this is right in line with what the steering committee has said, that we appropriately respond to this comment, and in particular that certainly as NQF on our own, we're more than willing to take the comment back about the other box. But then for what has been done on the measures, we can draft a response that says, during the review of the measures, the steering committee does take into account the level of analysis that the measure submitter checks, and that was part of the review process. And so if that works for all of you, as we proposed, I think we can go ahead and do that.
I think that's the best approach. I mean, we did consider it, and I remember in some cases we questioned the level. So I think that's all we would need to do.
Okay, and I guess we can follow up. I know that was originally one of Dr. Dorsey's comments, and he's unable to attend this call today when he reviewed the draft report, and I sent this comment out to the entire committee that he was concerned with some of the level of analysis for these measures. So as Sally indicated, I think we can just follow up with discussion via email. And go from there.
This is Rich Griffey. I think that the only place I can think of where this would really bear importantly would be in those measures where it was felt like there might not be an adequate volume for a denominator, and where we discussed extending time frames for reporting so that an adequate volume could be considered. So what comes to mind is some of the cardiac imaging measures, but we certainly considered it, so I think that the response would be okay in that regard.
Great, given that, I would agree. That's a very important point that was part of our discussion and is at least closely related to the issue.
All right.
And I think our other proposition for the ones, you know, the desire that the measures be expanded to include other populations, I think what we're proposing is that we acknowledge that, you know, there's an agreement that that's important, but they were not tested at the time, and we encourage folks to test them in other populations or, you know, some kind of canned language like that.
That would be great.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think... that's it for.
There's. We can. I think briefly, if you look right now at the screen, if you look at number 70, we're hoping to have some steering committee input on this comment.
This is Scott. I think that comment is really more directed towards measure developers than it is towards the steering committee, since our role is not to design the measures, but rather to make a judgment on whether or not they should be endorsed. And this is really, to me, an indication of what the ACEP would like to see the measures be, unless I'm missing something in the comment.
Well, Steve Piantro, it also, I think, it represents a general problem, and I think there was some aspect of this that was evident with the concern about the headache measure. It's a very different environment where things are not very well defined when the patient initially presents, so we do have to deal a lot with symptomatology that may or may not be reflected in terms of what the final discharge diagnosis is. So I think that it is, Rich, I'd be interested in your thoughts about this too. It's just a statement of kind of our concern in terms of the complexity of having good, valid measures in emergency medicine.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point that this should be, that this is really directed at developers is probably correct, but then also it's worth consideration by and a measure endorsing body to consider this, and that is that for when someone comes in with an undiagnosed problem, it's different than if they're coming in with a diagnosis so it's hard to start with the diagnosis and then work backwards from there for a quality measure in emergency medicine, whereas if someone has a known problem that they're coming in with and there's quality measures developed around that, that might make more sense in another setting. So this is a general concern in emergency medicine with measures that are based on ICD-9 diagnoses with exclusion sets, and I think that's what's being reflected here.
This is Judy, and I guess what I would say is that you know, this is sort of the state of our system as we have it now. And I think for most of these measures, what's important to me is the spectrum and the outliers rather than having a specific right answer.
So would an appropriate comment be that we would welcome measures that are that include the diagnoses and in them and recognize the importance of doing so? Is that the type of comment that would be appropriate here?
That's perfect, and I think we got that, and we'll also follow up with the measure developer.
Okay.
And actually, I have one more thing to say about the risk stratification, because I think in general we the NQF's position has been not to make these too complicated, and so I think maybe something along the lines of, you know, it doesn't capture everyone and the risk stratification is different, but we recognize that this is to make it easier, not harder to do.
I think maybe I heard you incorrectly. You're saying that the comment would be we would welcome measures that are based upon symptoms and not just diagnoses. Is that what you're...
I think that's what the comment is suggesting, yes.
Right.
Right. Okay, good.
All right. I think that really concludes our discussion for this section. Are there any other comments from the steering committee, or can we move forward to our other agenda item to review the newly submitted combined measure?
I think we need to move forward.
All right, wonderful. So we're going to be transitioning the screen here. We're going to be taking down the comment table, and we're going to be moving up the measure submission form for measure number 8. This was a measure that was submitted to the project during the in-person meeting. The steering committee identified that they would like to have this measure combined with a currently endorsed NQF measure. Through that process, Dr. Schuer from the Brigham Women's Hospital is able to work with individuals from Harborview, and they have combined the measure. The newly submitted measure uses the old measure, which looked at radiographs, and then combines CTs within that. So I believe Dr. Foreman and Dr. Bello were going to be able to lead discussions around this measure. And I guess at this time I can hand it off to them unless there's any other questions.
I think it probably would be worthwhile if Jay is still on the line for him to just present the process of harmonizing the two policies and just commenting about any issues that are there. There's one typo, which I'll get to, but I'm hoping that Jay is there and can present that first.
I'm here. So we submitted the measure to the to this project, and the original measure that we submitted was appropriate cervical spine CT imaging and trauma with the knowledge that there was already an NQF measure around plain radiography. And that was from Harborview. And so in harmonizing the measures, we had a number of discussions and went back and forth. I think the main issue that affected our discussions is that there are two clinical decision rules that have been well validated in multiple prospective studies about how clinicians can determine patients who are not in need of plain radiographs. The second body of evidence is that there are a number of studies that show that when compared head-to-head, CT scans will find more fractures than plain radiographs will find. And initially, we wanted to try to create a measure that would have appropriateness for either modality, appropriate cervical spine radiography or appropriate CT imaging. But as none of the studies prospectively evaluated CT imaging, we did not think that was an appropriate, we did not think that was a reasonable measure because there's not evidence to specifically state that. And so we came up with a combined measure that is appropriate cervical spine radiography and CT imaging and trauma. The measure is the percent of adult patients undergoing cervical spine imaging, that can either be radiography or CT imaging, who have a documented evidence-based indication prior to imaging. And that could either be a Canadian C-spine rule or a Nexus low-risk criteria. And the specifications are intricate because the clinical decision rules are intricate. And the denominator of the measure is the patients who received the images, and then the numerator are those patients who had a documented indication, the short way of describing it.
There's just a couple of things that I had questions about, and one was that, and this may be for Ian, I was sent a really nice flow chart that I think made it a hell of a lot easier to understand than when you're just reading through it. And I was wondering, I'm not sure that it's necessary for us on the call, but maybe when we vote on it, if that could be distributed.
Yes, we can do that. I apologize. What you have right now is NQF submission form. Dr. Shuru provided some supplemental information to me prior to updating this, so I can send that supplemental information with the flow chart out to the rest of the committee prior to vote.
I actually just put it on the chat on the web conference. If people are on, there's a link, HTML link to that document.
Okay. There's one typo, and maybe there are more, I'm sorry, but when I was reading through it, in 1B.1, it says, and this is where the opportunity for improvement says, studies have shown that a decrease in cervical spine imaging of up to, and then there's nothing there, can be safely achieved. And I just wanted to make sure that that was in there, if possible, before it goes out for a vote, because I do think that that's one of the most compelling reasons to do this, despite the fact that on the feasibility issue, it may be a little bit more difficult than some other measures.
We can definitely add that.
Okay. So I think the way Jay has presented it and the way I've at least read it, I don't feel like that we've made any dramatic changes except to include C-spine and to include both sets of rules, which was previously there for the CT analysis. So from my point of view, I thought it read well. The one area that remains a challenge and that, we would be approving this for time-limited endorsement is the issue of feasibility and the fact that those institutions that have paper-based records and purely paper-based records may find this more challenging and the data capture itself may be less valid or credible, whereas those that have computerized physician order entry will not only find it easier to do this, but may actually find more useful data. Jacqueline, do you want to add anything?
Not specifically. I agree with endorsing it for the combined measure. There are just a couple of housekeeping type of typos that are also there that I can either tell you about now or in email, whatever you prefer. On page 4 at the top, I think that at the end of 1C1, it's anticipated to decrease unnecessary CT scanning without that extra past tense there. And then just in the reading of the, I don't remember if it was a summary or just a second, when they're going over the decision rules, there's a back and forth and back and forth about tenses and
okay.
Singular versus plural. But, no, I think that the harmonization was important, and I think that the importance of the measure in general is clear. I think it's well done.
All right, and thank you very much. And I just would like to thank Dr. Shurer for working very closely with NQF and under tight deadlines. maybe Dr. Bello and Dr. Foreman, just kind of in keeping in line with NQF-CDP process, if we could touch on some of the other key evaluation criteria, so scientific acceptability and then usability. I know we already touched on importance at the in-person meeting, and Dr. Foreman, you spoke on feasibility, so if we could maybe just touch on those two other evaluation criteria areas.
Right, and do you want to go by them letter by letter, A, B, C?
Yes, please. That would just help the flow. And if individuals would like, we can also put that evaluation criteria up on the screen. I don't know if that'd be helpful or not, or would you rather look over the actual submission form?
It's not good with either.
Okay. Maybe we'll just try to track you with the submission form as you go over the other evaluation criteria.
Okay, great.
Okay.
We're scrolling down right now, and we're here at scientific acceptability of the measure properties.
Starting with precisely. Right. Okay. So for 2A, the numerator.
2A, I had it as completely.
C. Yeah.
Okay.
2B, with reliability testing, I'm just trying to read. I had it as partial based on the way the description is written and the fact that we don't have both technologies completely evaluated by the decision rule separately.
Right, so a P for 2B.
Right.
Okay.
The validity testing we acknowledge is not there, and that's why it's time limited, right?
Correct.
So that takes care of C. We're up to D.
All right, we're moving down there right now.
Okay. So I gave it a C.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Risk adjustment we didn't have, so that's not applicable.
Any.
Okay.
I think we went with not NA in this.
Okay.
For 2F?
Is that for 2F?
2F.
Correct. So moving on down to 2G, we'll bring that up on your screen.
Sorry, can I take a step back? You said not applicable for identification of meaningful differences in performance.
That's what I thought I was saying. There is no. I may misinterpret what that means, though. With large enough sample size.
So that this measure will be able to, when it's implemented, determine meaningful differences in performance.
Right. I mean, that's what I said. Maybe I'm just misstating that, then. Maybe it's completely then. I think I'm misunderstanding that point.
Right. Okay. So you don't see any issues with this particular criteria?
No.
Okay.
Comparability of multiple data sources, 2G. There are two different data sources in the sense that some institutions will use paper records and some will be using physician order entry, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have time-limited approval here. So, but I'm not sure how to translate that into the rating.
Yeah, so that's a good question, and what is important is at this point, time-limited, that the specification addresses that there are two data sources so that it's complete enough that both data sources will be implemented, and then we can, once it's implemented and tested fully, we can assess the actual data itself.
Okay, so it, should we say...
Could that be partial, then?
Yeah, that's...
The paper source is not guaranteed?
Okay. That's a good question for time-limited endorsement. We'll have to get back to you. So it sounds like do you think the spec is able to support both data sources just based on the understanding of the specification as written?
Yes. I mean, I think that at the original meeting, and I don't think Jay would feel any differently now, we were, you know, given a very simple sheet that could be filled out for every single patient. So I don't think it's infeasible, impossible to do. It just may have the variation in reliability.
Okay.
I think the concern there, though, is that when you have an electronic system such as is being piloted, you can make it such that you can't progress unless a field is filled in, as opposed to submitting a piece of paper that's taken from a a paper chart where the information just might not be there. Do you understand the issue that I'm raising, or in terms of the?
I completely understand.
Paper source, yeah. And in that it's possible. I mean, until we made the pacemaker question mandatory that you can't go on for MR, it was just either left blank or ignored. And you know, by electronically making it a cannot proceed and then putting your name there, we now get the information. So the... The question is whether incomplete forms, maybe there are built-ins that guarantee the completeness of the electronic that can't be built into the paper, that's all.
I wonder if this is an NA until it's completely tested in both.
That's a valid point. I just don't know how to answer it. I mean... comparability of multiple. So according to the comment over there, it says that, you know, if multiple data sources are allowed, there is demonstration they produce comparable results. Since there is no demonstration that they produce comparable results, it may just be not at all at this point.
Right.
I don't know that nixes the thing, but based on the way your comment is written, I think it has to be. Does that resonate with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. I think we just have to go with N, not NA.
Okay.
I don't think that nixes the whole thing, but I do think that that's one of the reasons why it's time limited.
Right.
Correct.
The only thing I would point out is 2G1 is data sample, description of data sample, and size. And that, and I would, you know, 2G2 and T2G3, and from what I'm hearing from the steering committee discussion is the primary concern that that's not done. So I don't know if you consider 2G1 addressed or not, just to.
Sally, this is Heidi. I'm staff here at NQF and been working on some of the time-limited reviews of measures, so maybe if I could provide. I think you don't have the information, then you won't. There's no expectation that you would look for even a data or a sample, because that's really what they'll be doing or should be providing at the time of testing. So I think you don't know it yet, and as long as you feel that the measure is well specified, that's really what you probably should look at the moment.
Right, okay.
So, Heidi, would it be an NA or an N?
NA.
NA.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you don't have anything, and that's just part of the time-limited piece.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Disparities in care, I think, there are no disparities in care that have been identified, at least the way I understand it, so this is not applicable. And then steering committee overall, to what extent scientific acceptability, again, my own... only concern is what we've just talked about. So I have it as completely, but I guess one could also say partially. So I defer to Jacqueline or the rest of the group.
Yeah, I think that given that we have NAs instead of Ns, that the things that we can evaluate are complete. So I would vote for a C there.
Okay, let me just add, it was, we did have partial on the basis of the fact that we've never actually tested the a harmonized
measure. We didn't have the validity. Right.
That's the only reason why I'm questioning P. I have it marked as C on my form in front of me, but raising that as a question for anybody, either staff or anybody else on the steering committee.
Well, the validity can't be addressed at this time because it hasn't been fully tested, correct?
Right.
So is it really that, given that it's the recommendation is for time-limited endorsement, that it would be complete, but, you know, without that label, then it would not meet that threshold?
That's fine with me. You know, like I said, I have C on my form. I just want to make sure nobody feels it should be a P. I think we should just stick with C then, or at least I'm sticking with C.
Okay.
So now we're into usability?
Yes.
So I think here it gets a little easier. Meaningful, understandable, and useful information, and I feel completely here.
Agree.
And we're down to 3B, harmonization is related to already endorsed, and so, you know, and we have a summary statement here, and I think it's C.
Okay.
And distinctive or additive value, and there's a description here, which I think is clear, and states the intention and meaning, so I think this, too, is C, complete. Therefore, I think the steering committee overall usability. Are we all okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. So feasibility is probably the area where we still have the greatest concern, and that's where data generated as a byproduct of care processes. You know, I think this could be minimally or partially. I have it listed as minimally, although that's not right.
I would have said P, partially.
Okay. And under electronic sources, you know, it's partially under electronic sources and partially in paper sources that will then be entered. So I have that as P, partially.
Mm-hmm.
And under exclusions, there's no additional data sources required, so I think this is not applicable. Mm-hmm. And susceptibility to inaccuracies, errors, or unintended consequences, I think this is not, so I think it's completely, I think the description is fine. Data collection strategy implementation is, you know, this is again to a little bit, yeah, exactly, I think that's right. And then the summary statement, steering committee overall, I have it listed as P.
This is Rich Griffey. You know, my only concern about this measure, and one of the reasons why I had proposed harmonizing it with the existing measure, was the potential unintended consequence that it would, the initial measure would be seen as endorsing routine CT over radiographs. I think that the Jay's done a nice job of addressing that here. I am not fully, 100% convinced that a quality measure that like this doesn't have that still have some potential for that. You know, it's a potential unintended consequence that could occur, that it could be seen as endorsing routine CT instead of radiographs, and I guess that there's no sort of gold standard for that right now, so it's a small consideration otherwise here, but for that reason I would call it a P instead of a C.
Ray Gibbons, could you just clarify that?
You know, the initial measure was that, you know, these clinical decision rules were intended to identify those patients at very low risk, not even requiring any imaging whatsoever. the intent of the original measure as proposed was that, well, if you're going to apply these clinical decision rule standards for obtaining just an X-ray, then shouldn't you also at least meet those criteria when ordering a CT? And the concern I had at that point was that by saying, you know, if you're going to get a CT, you need to have these, you need to have met these standards of the clinical decision rules for imaging, that would be taken as an endorsement of going for primary CT over primary X-ray in imaging for cervical spine trauma. Since this really is just a corollary that if you have any imaging that you should meet these criteria of the clinical decision rule, it makes sense to harmonize the measures. I understand now.
I agree. I understand. Thanks.
So is there anything else that we need to do other than to either take a vote? I think we were going to take a vote after the conference call. Is that correct, Ian?
Correct. We have things set up for an online voting system. You'll have to allow us to get time to draw a summary up of this for the steering committee members who are not on the call. I just want to make them aware of the discussions. Once that's been drafted, we'll send it out to the committee to review and then open up the vote for this measure.
Sounds great. Are there any questions from any on the steering committee or others? Okay. Anything else that we can provide, either myself or Jacqueline?
I think at this time this is perfect. This is what we need. And doing so and sending out the summary will also provide that flow chart for the committee to look over.
Great. So.
Quickly, next steps, and then we'll do public comment.
So moving from there, we're just going to go to next steps. From this point, we'll draft a summary of the discussions today, highlight any key issues that we need the committee to look at any further. We'll provide the committee with a summary of the discussion of measure number 8, which we just reviewed. We'll subsequently open that up for a vote and then move forward from there with finalizing the draft report and turning it into a report for member voting in
And the revote on number 13.
I believe, August. And then we'll have a revote. We'll have to set up a system for revoting on measure number 13 and providing a summary around that discussion for today. So that'll be the next couple steps coming up for our processes here. I don't know if there's any questions from the steering committee at this time.
This is Ray. Could you just clarify for me, sorry if this is a dumb question, after those revotes, what then happens?
I guess so. You know, part of it we'll have to see from our internal processes here, as well as also the revotes. Heidi might be able to answer some of those questions if she's still on the phone, and she kind of deals with some of those processes here at NQF.
I'm sorry, Ian. I am here, but I apologize. I had someone in my office that briefly tell me what the question is.
The question is, we have a couple measures. Or one measure that was recommended for endorsement originally. However, during the comment period, some comments came up that encouraged
right.
the steering committee to look at them differently. The steering committee is going to re-vote on that measure, and the question was, what do we then do from an NQF processing standpoint?
So it all depends on what the steering committee ultimately decides. If you all feel that you've been swayed, that there's been enough votes or comments that have raised new issues or re-raised issues that you discussed, and you feel that you need to reverse your decision and decide not to recommend a measure, that's part of the process. That's good. We see that as a good thing. So what we will do is work with Ian and Sally to write both in a summary memo that will go out with your voting report, as well as revise the existing report to show that the measure is no longer recommended, and the fact that that decision was made was comments that were discussed first by you in the beginning and then were raised during comment have led you to believe that this measure should not be recommended. So, well, it's that part of the process. It's we see it as a you know, it's not a bad thing, not a, you know, it's just part of the process. So we'll work and redline the document and do that.
Okay,
but
so
it would go forward out for vote is not recommended,
okay,
if that's
so,
what you all
yeah,
decide.
So, and then what so that happens, there's an announcement, and is that it for this committee?
Right. So what then happens is the report will go out for vote. Anything that's recommended will be voted on. So if you determine that that measure is no longer recommended, it will not go out for vote. It just will be reflected in the report, and individuals will be told that. It will then go to the Consensus Standards Approval Committee, and we'll ask your two co-chairs to participate on that conference call or meeting. I'm not sure when this will come up, but and they will discuss the overall process, the decisions that were made, the comments that were seen, and the votes that were received. It will then go to the board with the CSAC recommendations, which may actually be, you know, they have the opportunity to say that they don't agree with what the steering committee has done. That very doesn't happen very often. It does from time to time. Goes to the board. The board determines whether they agree that the process was followed, all the issues were addressed, and then it goes out for an appeals process.
Thank
so at that point, that's the process. Does that help?
Yes, that helps a lot.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thank you very much, Heidi. Are there any other questions from the steering committee at this time? All right, hearing no response, Eric and Scott, if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and open it up for public comments. So at this time, I'm going to ask Michelle, the operator, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
I just want to queue up and see if there's anyone from the public who has any comments they would like to make regarding these discussions today.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 at this time. There are no questions or comments at this time.
All right. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. All right. Well, it looks like we actually are ahead of schedule. If there's no other questions, I think NQF staff, we're going to turn around and try to get out the deliverables that we've promised for you today. We greatly appreciate your time and work throughout this entire process. We understand that this portion can be challenging, especially reviewing a significant number of comments and information via conference call. So we appreciate all your help and insight. And please follow up with us if you have any questions from here.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Eric and Scott. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you, and you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.